Revelation 19. Beautiful day, great day. You're having a tough day. The best thing to do is just count the blessings that you have. Revelation 19, we're going to begin reading with the 7th verse. Actually, start the study with the 8th verse. We're going to read down through the 16th. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for those beautiful songs, those hymns that we've sung this morning. We just thank and praise you that we have the opportunity, the freedom to come into this building and to come together as a church to proclaim your word, to fellowship together, to sing these wonderful hymns again. And please, dear Lord, that you will continue to guide and lead us and bless us. Give us this strength. Whatever challenges that face us this coming week, we just ask that you will go before us and prepare us and strengthen us. And if you give us, today is the only day that we are given, and we may not even see it finished. You may come again before that time and take your church home. Or, dear Father, maybe one that's among us today, we'll go home to be with you today. We don't know. Day to be born and a day to die. And, dear Lord, we need to be prepared. And so I ask, Father, that through these words that are proclaimed today, that those that do not know you as their Savior will come and be saved today. Trust in that precious blood that was shed on Calvary. As dear Father, you sent your Son to hang on that cross to take our sins away. And you, Father, he was obedient all the way to death. And then 3 days later, as he lay in the grave, he was brought back to life. Oh, dear Father, thank you for the bodily resurrection that we have to look forward to. Dear Father, please now, touch our hearts. Those that are lost, bring them to you for salvation, and those that are saved, grow us, dear Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. We find in that 8th verse, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The righteousness of saints. We read last week, I'd like to read it once again. It's too important of verses not to. Go with me to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, verse 6. You need to see these verses. Isaiah 64, the 6th verse. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now please go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Back in Revelation chapter 19. This fine linen, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. To her is to us. We are the church. And so we have been given the righteousness of God, and by God's power and strength, he has given to us his righteousness. And it is shown here in the garments that is worn, arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. We have nothing but filthy rags, as Isaiah tells us. If you're trying to depend upon your own way and your own will, you're going to desperately fail, because you have no hope without Jesus Christ. And so please trust in Jesus today if you have not, because all you have is just filthy old rags. Don't you want the righteousness of God? Don't you want that precious garment made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend? This bride that is spoken of here in Revelation chapter 19, the 8th verse, the 7th and 8th verse, the only comparison that we have is something we've been talking about in the past chapters here, and that's concerning the harlot. And will you notice differently how the harlot is dressed and how the saints of God take on the righteousness of God? And we should be the same. We should have and have the appearance of the righteousness of God through what we wear, how we act. We discussed downstairs a little bit concerning the fruit of the Spirit and how that we are to how we're to be, how we're to act. We are all teachers. We are all leaders. Someone is watching us. And whether we know it or not, we are leading them. Now, are we leading them down a path of righteousness, or are we leading them down a path of ungodliness? It is an opportunity that we have to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we have a righteous act and look, not our own, but God's righteousness in us, that people will see that and know that. And so it's important that you see, because this white linen, the fine linen, white and clean, righteousness of saints, verse 8 tells us. The opposite of that is this gaudy garment that the world has put on. And too often, I'm afraid that our eyes see some of the gaudiness of the world, and we are taken by it, and we desire to have some of the things of the world. And so see that we look godly, look righteous, and again, not something that you just put on for appearance purposes, but it's something that's in your heart, that you desire to be godly and look godly. There should be no question when people would see us or hear us, whether it be at work or wherever it may be. What is important is that we have the right character. We look proper. We act proper. And again, that is something that only through the surrendering of the Holy Spirit can take place. And so please look to the Word of God for His strength and His power, that in this life, here God has given the bride, the wife has been made ready. God has given that special righteousness there. But as we look at this and see what's coming, we need to understand that here and now, we need to give an appearance of godliness. And please, that it come from inside, not something fake. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Please turn there with me as we look at the Scripture to help us understand. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It tells us that husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We are being prepared for the day that we stand before him. So our appearance, our actions, should be appearances and actions that the world does not have to look and wonder, are we a Christian? The world should know that we are a Christian because we are a peculiar people to the world. Do they see that in us? Do they see that we're different? Or do we just blend right in with them and they wouldn't be the wiser unless someday we say, oh, I'm a Christian. And they walk away saying, that surprises me. I hope that happens to none of us. See that we look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our strength. Washing of the Word. What a wonderful day. Let's go to the laver. Let's get some cleaning done here. We have several events that's going on here with the church, and I want to keep everybody on schedule. Some of you that studied this many times are very familiar with it, but some may not be. And so we're going to go back, and the next event that's going to take place here with the church is the rapture. And so let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read about that because that's what's to take place right now. As we look at these events, we're going to kind of back up here a little bit because the next one to come is the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 13 down through verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, is telling us here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. These are scripture verses that you hear many times, often read, and they need to be. That is going to be a glorious day, and that day is a day that could come this very moment, this very second. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've come to church, and you're listening to the Word of God, and all of a sudden that trump sounds, and those all that are believers will be taken from this building. How will you feel if you're the only one left? How will you feel if you're the only one left? That time is coming, and that time is very, very soon. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, because we're going to look at an event that will take place following that, and that is the judgment seat. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and then we'll be going back to 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, please don't misunderstand. This isn't a judgment of the saved and lost. This is a judgment that takes place with the saved, born-again believers. And this isn't concerning your sin. This is concerning what you have, how you have served, how you have praised God and worked for his mission here of giving out the gospel to all the world. That is what that's talking about. And so there'll be a sad time in heaven, I'm afraid, to many believers, true believers, because they have just kind of used this as a fire escape and not served the Lord. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read a couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. It's a good example here to help you understand. Again, we are talking only to save people here. We're not talking to lost. Our sin has been taken away by the blood of Jesus, never to return. And so it's our service. It's our fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Again, we are not dealing with sin, we're dealing with works, service. And works will never get you to heaven, but God expects us to serve him and work for him after salvation, and that's what we're talking about here. And so as we're looking at these items at the beginning to just help you a little bit to understand, we have gold, silver, and precious stones. Fire only purifies those. Now, when we have the last three, wood, hay, and stubble, we know what fire will do with those. It consumes them, and they are gone. And I'm afraid that many of the things that we do will turn out to be wood, hay, or stubble. Everything we do for me will burn up. Everything that I do for the Lord Jesus will be recorded. It's all recorded. But this will be kept to my account, and it's called a reward that we're going to receive. And what a glorious day that's going to be. So we have the appear at the judgment seat. And then if we return back now to Revelation, because we're going to read Revelation chapter 19, right where we're studying today. And from verse 7, down through the 10th verse, really, is there's not a lot talked about the marriage. But again, let us be glad, verse 7, 19, 7 of Revelation, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. He saith to me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. Now, as we look at this event that's taking place here, it is wonderful to know that there'll be a day that we're going to meet Jesus face to face. It's wonderful to know that by God's love and grace, that he is going to acknowledge us for what we do for Him. We sure don't deserve it. We shouldn't expect that. He has saved an old wretch like me. Why should I expect something from Him? We should serve Him out of love and out of a desire of our heart to please Him for all that He has done for us. It should not be for the rewards, but God is going to reward us. And then we enjoy the marriage. Finally, we will be united with our Lord. After that, we find that we will return to earth and reign with Him in this kingdom. That's going to be the next event. If you look back to the sixth verse of the 19th chapter, we find that we have, and I heard as it were a great voice of multitudes, as the voices of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We are going to enjoy coming with Him. There'll be a glorious time that we'll join Him. And the 20th chapter, verse 6, tells us, Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection, on such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him for 1,000 years. What a glorious day it's going to be. The day that we will come with Him and enjoy this time. Now, if you look down, we're going to find in the 14th verse of Revelation 19, the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed with in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. We're going to come back with Him, and we will rule and reign with Him. What a wonderful day. I hope that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are of the wonderful time period of the whosoever will. And so please trust in Jesus as your Savior, because whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't get any easier than that. Please trust in Jesus. This ninth verse here, he says, Right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. All born again believers. What a glorious day that will be. What a wonderful day. These are the true sayings of God. The end of verse 9 tells us the true sayings. That should be a great comfort. It is a promise to us that these are true sayings from God. You know, the Old Testament, those holy men, those prophets. And then the New Testament, God has spoken, it clearly says, through His Son. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, and read that very statement. Hebrews chapter 1, a lot of verses of Scripture today. We learn to become very familiar with our Bible so we can find these precious, precious passages. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He hath by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We've went from the rapture to the reign. We're looking at the sweet promises that was given to us, the precious Word of God. These are the true sayings of God. You know, for some reason, God, through the Holy Spirit, directed Paul to make that statement right there. I want you to know, this isn't Paul talking. This is God's talking. I'm telling you that this is right and this is true, so please believe it. The 10th verse. Here's what happened to John when all this took place. I fell at his feet to worship him. But this servant of the Lord that John fell at the feet to, he didn't like it. He said, "See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Whether John was taken over by emotion or whatever it was, he fell down and began to worship this servant of God, which was an angel. And he immediately instructed him not to do that. The messenger wanted no part of that. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. To worship even the most high of God's creatures is idolatry. So even the greatest of creation, of God's creation, for man to worship that is idolatry. Worship God and Him alone. We need to worship God. God forbids it. Worship God and Him alone. Love Him with all your heart, soul, spirit, and strength. Worship Him only. Today, many leaders of lands desire that their citizens bow to them, to the leaders, to worship them, to praise them. Many religious leaders demand the same thing. Come and kiss my hand or kiss my feet. They demand a place of honor, a place of position that is only given to God. And if anyone does that to a man, they are committing idolatry. They are worshiping someone that does not deserve to be worshiped. We find this often today in today's worship. It's the praise of man or of idols of some sort. Again, we are to worship God and God alone. Now, the last part of this verse says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." This messenger here, this fellow servant, it wasn't a being like John. I believe it to be an angel, a servant of God, someone that was serving him. It says, having the testimony of Jesus, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What we need to do, what John was doing, what this servant was doing, was bearing witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He bears witness to his honor, to his glory. He bears witness of his return, that he's coming again. And all the blessed things that's connected with the day of his return, that is the testimony of Jesus in the spirit of prophecy. To take the word of God and to tell it. And what we've been talking about for some time here is in the future. But we're taking it from the word of God. Some things we don't know. We can't imagine how some of these things are all going to work. But we know they will, because our God will see to it. All prophecy that concerns the Lord Jesus Christ, all scriptural proclamations of the coming events are a testimony concerning Himself. And I thought that was a very clear statement. A very clear statement. We're going to just open here a few minutes with a general statement of this next section. The coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, and I would like for you to just turn back those few pages with me. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Actually, 5, 6, and 7 would be worthy to be read. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. In the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now let's look back to Revelation chapter 19. Now we see a great king, a victorious king. One called him a warrior king because he's come to make war with the enemy. He's victorious in battle. He's a conqueror with his mighty power and strength. And I saw the heaven open. In the sixth chapter, we found the heaven was opened. And that's when the seals were opened, and we have the four horses. And so we have a rider of the white horse back in the sixth chapter. And also we had the second seal was a red horse, the third seal was a black horse, and the fourth seal was a pale horse. The rider of this white horse was not named, believed to be the Antichrist. But the rider here in the 19th chapter, verses 11 through 13, is well described of who he is. Chapter 19, verse 11, Faithful and True. Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire. Verse 12, on his head were many crowns. Verse 15, we have out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Back to verse 13, his name is called the Word of God. In verse 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Surely we can see this is none other than the Lord Jesus. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Now, we're going to stop there, because we're going to look some verses up concerning these white horses. So don't miss next week. We'll start right there. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today as we look through these verses of Scripture. We find you coming to put an end to the evil and set your kingdom up for 1,000 years. What a glorious day that will be. The next event that we're waiting for is for you to take us home. And there will be many activities take place from there to the time that we return. But when we return, when you return, we will be with you, following you. What a wonderful, glorious day that will be. Father, please, don't let anyone leave here without knowing you as their Savior. Because that day, a day we've termed the rapture, could come any day. Everything is in place. It's just your timing, dear Lord. Whenever you have said it, it will happen. It will be at a time that we will be least prepared, I believe. Because we get so busy in this life and this world that it's easy for us to get preoccupied. Don't let that happen, dear Lord. Keep us mindful of what's to come. Keep us busy in serving you. But it will not be a time that we would have set. It will be a different time, I believe. Your time, dear Lord, without question. Father, please, bring those lost to you today, and that they will not refuse you this time, but they'll accept you as their Savior. And then, Father, continue to grow us and lead us, sanctify us, make us more like you, Lord Jesus. We know that work will not be done until we are face to face with you. But a work needs to be done, and we need to be busy in service to you. Thank you for this day, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.